It was noted philosopher, American from the Washington, the greater Washington, D.C. area, Sidney Lowe, who summed up yesterday's ACC basketball games the best. At least the Duke-Florida State game. We'll get to Carolina in a second. The Duke-Florida State game, just as noted basketball philosopher Sidney Lowe once said, it's a make-or-miss game. Got to make shots. And there's a bigger picture there for Duke, and we'll get there in a second. But on the surface, rewatched the second half, rewatched overtime. Duke, going into the end of regulation, gets the ball to Paolo Banchero. Their 6'10 freshman, the potential number one overall pick in the NBA draft. He made a play at the end of regulation. Gets the ball to Mark Williams, alley-oop. Duke takes a two-point lead. Can't ask for anything more than that. Cannot. Best player had the ball. He made a play. It's a make-or-miss game. Williams makes the dunk. I would like for you, though, to stop and consider the adjustment that Mike Krzyzewski made on the final possession of regulation. What if it wasn't Mike Krzyzewski? What if it was a different coach? Let's just say it was Kevin Keats. Let's just say Kevin Keats, here's what Duke did in the second half, if you didn't watch the game last night. Duke ends up losing 79-78 in overtime at Florida State. I predicted yesterday that Florida State would froth at the mouth at this opportunity. They did. I did not think Florida State would win this game. I didn't think they'd be good enough, despite their motivation. Florida State, on the final possession of regulation, it's a make-or-miss game. Duke goes man on the final possession after playing zone for pretty much the last 6-7 minutes of regulation. Once Trevor Keels went out with the ankle or foot injury, Duke went zone. And it worked. It got him back into the game. It worked. But on the final possession of regulation, they switched to man. And you're thinking, well, is that really that bad? I mean, Duke's a team that relies on man. This isn't terrible. Except Florida State had not been able to get the ball to the basket because they're playing zone, right? When you play zone, the whole point is to make sure the other team makes an outside shot. Final possession, Duke goes man. Paolo Banchero ends up on Raekwon Evans. It's a make-or-miss game. Raekwon Evans made a miracle shot, people. I would love to see him make that. I'd love to see him take that 10 times. I would venture to say he makes 2. Sometimes that's all it is. It's a make-or-miss game. Evans makes the shot. Game goes into overtime. In overtime, Evans ends up at the foul line on Florida State's final possession. Jeremy Roach flopped. He should not have flopped. It was a bad. I don't think it was the right call. It was a very physical game. I don't think it was the right call. I also don't think Roach should have left his feet at the three-point line. He ends up going to the ground. Evans ends up at the foul line. Just last week, he beat Miami under similar circumstances. He hits free throws to beat Miami. He makes the free throws. And now Duke has the ball with a chance to win the game, down one. Banchero takes the ball out of bounds, doesn't get it back. Mistake number one, Wendell Moore has been outstanding. Is there veteran leader of this team? He's going to the basket, doesn't get a great look. Not too dissimilar to Evans's prayer at the end of regulation, but he couldn't get this one over the outstretched arms of Florida State's defense. Duke loses. Banchero doesn't have the ball. K doesn't call a timeout, which I don't mind. I don't mind. But let's think about that. He switched defenses, didn't work. And then at the end of regulation, his best player doesn't have the ball. I'm not suggesting the loss goes on Mike Krzyzewski. What I'm saying to you is, if you substitute anyone else's name in the ACC, what are we talking about right now? Oh my gosh, I can't believe Keats switched to man. Oh my God, I can't believe Darian Sebron didn't take the final shot. Think about that. Think about how we process information in the triangle. Just think about that. Duke ends up losing. And here's the big picture for Duke. They're now in a pattern when they're in a close game, they lose. That's not a pattern you want to be in, my friend. Because once you get to the tournament, you have to win six games to win. And unless you're Carolina in 09, you're going to play a close game. You're probably going to play two close games, the championship and one game on the way from the Final Four, those first four, probably. Right now, when Duke plays a close game, they lose, particularly away from home, even though Miami got them there. That's the problem. Now, that doesn't mean it can't be fixed. Here's Mike Krzyzewski on actually how it can get fixed.
I think the only way you learn is through experience. You know, you can't replicate that in a practice session, you know, because you're not going to play against anybody that good in a practice session. And so that's part of a growth process, you know, for, we got a lot of young guys. You got to learn from being in these experience, you know, in this type of thing, you know, and move forward.
He's right. They have a young team. They've grown up now, obviously, in these 17 games, but that's basically, other than Wendell Moore, that's the experience they have, are these 17 games. Their single-digit wins this season are the opener, 79-71 over Kentucky, and that was not a single-possession game. Gonzaga, 84-81. Again, that did not come down to the final look. They lose at Ohio State by 5 in a game that they let fritter away offensively. They couldn't get anything going at the end of that game. Then you have the Miami loss, where they couldn't score on their final possession, and the Florida State loss now here, where they couldn't get a stop on their final possession. I'm not suggesting we hit the panic button. I'm not suggesting we blame Mike Krzyzewski, the greatest college basketball coach of all time. I'm just saying, we have different conversations after losses with different teams, and that's understandable. Let us now move over to one of those other coaches that we have different conversations about after a loss. North Carolina last night. They end up going to Miami. They have two games this week, at Miami, at Wake Forest. I believe they will both end up being Q1 games for North Carolina. If you're not familiar with what a Q1, Quadrant 1 means, these are the games that the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee values the most. And in the ACC this year, there's Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, and Miami, basically on the road, other than Carolina's two games against Duke. Those are going to be their chances to get Q1 wins. They had a chance last night. Whew. I called it a show-me game for Carolina. That's not what I expected to see from that team. And they lost the game in the first half. Lost it in the jump, at the jump. 49 points in the first half. Can't happen. 49-22 at the end of the first half. Sam Wardenburg, you're saying, who? Yeah. You know, everyone expected Sam Wardenburg to go berserk from the three-point line. Yes, Carolina fans know how this works. They've seen this before. Wardenburg had 21 points. He made 5 threes last night. 5. And I'm going to tell you the one that bothered Hubert Davis the most. It was the first one after halftime, because I wasn't in the locker room, but I promise you, it was addressed at the half that you can't give open looks. You can't be lackadaisical on the defensive end. And that's pretty much what it comes down to for Carolina yesterday. And it's pretty much, if you want to go back to the Purdue and Tennessee losses or the Kentucky loss, you have to be committed on the defensive end. You shouldn't need those early games. Should have been the lesson that Mike Krzyzewski just talked about for Carolina. Those should have been the games that Carolina processed and said, if we don't play at this level against the best teams, this is what's going to happen to us. They now have an average margin of defeat of more than 20 points against teams who would be in the NCAA field today. That's not good. Carolina's resume is filled with a big hole, and they're running out of chances. Yes, they could split with Duke. They're not going to sweep Duke. I'm just I'm breaking news to you right now, but they're not going to. They could split with Duke. That would go a long way. They need to beat Wake on Saturday. Like, they're now in. Maybe cover your ears because you guys hate it when I do this. But they're in NC State territory now. You're in. Yeah, it's January, and you're playing an ACC road game, and you have to win it. This isn't like, oh, gosh, we have a cupboard full of non-conference wins we can lean back on, which you'll note is usually the situation that NC State is in. Not this year, but usually. That's where Carolina is right now. And we want to blame Hubert Davis. That's what I've seen on the Twitters. We don't want to blame Mike Krzyzewski. I get it. He's got five national titles. He's the greatest coach of all time. We are really quick to judge both Hubert Davis in year one. I know people love to tell me that Kevin Keats is in year five. But the way that all rosters are scrambled up and jumbled up, heck, everybody might as well be in year one. Other than Krzyzewski in year 47. Carolina had a bad effort last night. It should not have happened. I'm not breaking any hashtag analysis here. The problem for Carolina is that's already happened this season. That leads me to believe the lesson can't be learned. Because if it didn't happen earlier, why, under Einstein's definition, are we expecting a different result from doing the same thing? Carolina's in trouble. I didn't think so after the Notre Dame loss. Notre Dame's pretty good at home. Carolina's in trouble now. The good news is, it is easier to react to an awful loss than one of those gut busters. Easier. And Saturday is a must-win for Carolina basketball. I don't remember the last time they played a must-win game in January, but welcome to the circus. That's where you are.